Last Word on Today FM.
Joe O'Shea is away, so Kate Henshaw is joining with Elaine Burke. I'm going to start with sort of picks of the week, Elaine. And I want to play a bit from the trailer from one of your selections, which is season two of Amandaland.
Please welcome Amanda Hughes.
Thank you, everyone.
You've probably seen my content and assumed it's another shallow lifestyle brand.
But I've just smashed 7K, so you'll have to excuse my appearance.
I'm actually reading 1984 at the moment.
I recommend Handmaid's Tale.
Love anything handmade. I use social media to touch people.
You post a picture of yourself eating cakes, and that's a job.
We're about connecting with people on a human level.
You can't just confront someone like Amanda with reality.
I am enraged.
Did someone just guess your real age?
She came, she saw, she gentrified.
So, Elaine, Amandaland was a spin-off, wasn't it, of
Motherland.
Motherland.
Yes, and Amanda was probably one of the best characters in it, but she was a side character. She wasn't really part of the main storylines a lot of the time. And she's worked so well as a spin-off. I think she's reaching Alan Partridge levels of a caricature now. And in the first episode of the new season, she does a Careers Week talk with overblown graphics and a Britney mic, and it was very Alan Partridge-esque, and I was like, I can see how they can make this such a huge thing for this character now. And Philippa Dunn, actually alongside her, I think is a real credit to the success of the show. She's also from the Motherland original cast, and she's the long-suffering best friend who is gradually coming out of her shadow and calling out Amanda on things. And it's really a funny dynamic that they managed to drag out for so long. Again, like Alan Partridge and the long-suffering Lynn, like we see that dynamic there as well. So maybe I'm just drawn to those kind of tropes. But then they've added people to this show, like Siobhan McSweeney is a foil to Amanda. She's kind of a more grounded character.
Yeah, but she is in season two?
A very absent character in season two. So she appears in episode one by calling her partner on a video call. So she clearly wasn't available to film with everybody else. Siobhan McSweeney is very booked and busy at the moment. She's hosting Irish Traders. She's hosting the Great Pottery Throwdown. She's doing acting in so many different things. So I can understand there was obviously scheduling conflicts, but she is going to be in this new season, just less so. That might be a loss, but they've introduced a new character to kind of fill the gap that Della, Siobhan's character, had taken up in it. And they've also got Jennifer Saunders was in the Christmas special. Joanna Lumley as Amanda's mother. And if they bring her more into this season, I think that they'll have the strengths that they need to keep this going.
Okay. Kate, your first pick is a special prequel episode of The Bear called Gary the Bear.
Yes. So this special prequel episode was actually stars and was written by John Bernthal, who you'll know as Michael from The Bear. He is Carmen, Jeremy Allen White's brother. We find out at the very, very start of the show that he died tragically, and he kind of haunts the narrative the entire time. This is the most we've really seen of him. And it was also written by and starring Eben Moss Bachrach as well, who plays Richie in the show, who had a really interesting character arc across The Bear. So it's interesting to go back and see this kind of past version of Richie, a much less likable version of him, honestly. But I just found this absolutely fascinating. I love this kind of trope of a character that haunts the narrative, and you have this wonderful experience to see a little bit more of him. So it sees the two of them go on this kind of buddy road trip to deliver this mystery package to Gary, Indiana. That's why it's called Gary. The episode is called Gary. And it's a real kind of treat for fans of The Bear. We now obviously know that the last season of The Bear will be the fifth season. That's coming out in June. And it's a real kind of fan service episode, but I think it really works.
Well, let's hear a little clip from it with Eben Moss Bachrach and John Bernthal.
Within a restaurant.
Similar to this.
Okay.
Similar to this spot. I do some cooking from time to time.
Yeah. What do you do?
What do I do?
At the restaurant?
Yeah. What do you do? I guess I'm like, I don't know how you say it, like kind of a bit of a song and dance man.
There you go. There you go.
I don't know, public relations, forward facing, you know.
Some critics suggest, Kate, that The Bear started brilliantly but fell off in seasons 3 and 4.
I really disagree with that. I do think season two of The Bear, I can see Elaine nodding. I do think season two of The Bear is one of the best seasons of television I've ever watched. But The Bear has a very special place in my heart. So I do find it a little bit difficult when I love the characters so much. I just love seeing more of them. I thought especially season four was incredible. There was an episode centered all around a wedding in season four that was very, very reminiscent of probably the best episode of The Bear and one of my favorite episodes of television of all time, called Seven Fishes from season two, which centers around the family's Christmas dinner and the kind of slow descent into chaos that you see there. I just love the show and I just love the characters. And I think season four, the end of season four, really set us up for really interesting season five because they could really go anywhere with it.
Yeah, you still love it, Elaine?
I absolutely love it. It's got such heart, and the way they depict this story that centers around food and the service of food and the love of that as a craft. Like, you can just see there's a lot of passion flows into the show, and you can enjoy that as a viewer. And that episode of the wedding, a lot of it takes place underneath a table at the wedding. And it's just such a, they bring a lot of unique perspectives to these stories, I think.
There's a third person this today who has said to me, Legends on Netflix is worth watching. Tell us about this.
Well, I've already kind of said I'm a big fan of Steve Coogan with all my mentions of Alan Partridge there.
But this is him in a serious,
exactly,
non-comic role.
And he is excellent as a dramatic actor as well. We've all seen Philomena, I hope. Brilliant film. And this is him playing the head of UK Customs during a top-secret crackdown on drug smuggling in the 90s. It launched on Netflix last week. We unfortunately went around last week to tell people about it. And it's a true crime adaptation from the person who made The Gold, Neil Forsythe. So that was about the Brinks heist. And it was very well received. That starred Jack Loudon. And this now is kind of looking at this moment in the 90s in this kind of area of crime. But also, we've seen so much things about crime and cops and drug dealers and stuff like that. And usually they just tap into that part of the story, the investigation and the crime element of it. This is a bit more expansive. Everyone gets kind of a rich backstory. They delve into the impacts of these drug barons and things like that. And the like many, many stories that impact on that. And I think that that's what gives this a lot of heft. And I think it's what reviewers are really responding to as well.
Okay, let's hear a little bit from Alan Carr's acceptance speech at the BAFTAs last night for best moment from his winning stint on Celebrity Traitors.
Was I good? Was I really? Or were the other celebrities just thick? It was Nick who made me cry, honestly. We were around that round table and he just went, we got this. And I was like, no, I've got this. When I laughed in their face and went, I'm a fable, I packed my bags and went home. But no, thank you so much. Thank you to all the people. Is it 15.9 million people who watched it? I had the best time ever. And I'm so jealous of all the celebrities up there that are doing it. I wish I could do it all again. You know, sometimes when I'm a little bit sad, I'll sit there and I'll remember the laughter. You know, I can even smell Celia's fart.
So the cast for season two for Celebrity Traitors has been announced, Kate. I see Joanne McNally is in there. I think she's the only Irish.
Yes, she seems to be the only Irish representation in it. But it is just a stellar cast. I mean, I remember being so impressed when the original cast for season one came out. And it seems like every celebrity agent in the UK must have seen how successful that was and said, I must get my client on this show. Because it seemed to be really good for everyone's PR as well. But you have people like Maya Jama, you have James Blunt, Miranda Hart, like Ross Kemp, all these people who I just can't wait to watch have a conversation.
Okay, but there's one glaring omission. Nobody from the world of sport. And for many people last year, even if Alan Carr won, Joe Marler, the rugby player, was the sort of standout surprise.
Yeah, and he played the game so intelligently. And I think people probably made incorrect assumptions about him being a rugby player going in. And he was so astute in the game. And he became one of the biggest characters in the show. Now, partially because he went so far, but I thought he was so entertaining in it.
I think you have potential for James Blunt emerging as that character, because people who aren't familiar with his evolution as a famous celebrity, he had that pop song, You're Beautiful, and a bit of success there as an artist. And he then turned into this funny little character online, making jokes about himself, being very self-deprecating. And he just seems like a kind of a fun, sardonic guy. I think he could be the Joe Marler of this season.
Okay, Kate, is there a consensus developing that Euphoria Season 3 is not living up to previous series?
It is horrific. I'm sorry, there is actually no other word for it. The storyline has gone so far off the rails. I was a Euphoria defender. I defended season two when a lot of people didn't like it, when even they abandoned a lot of the storylines from season one. But this shouldn't have been made. This show did not need a third season. This show has been marred with controversy and just it didn't need to happen. And the latest thing is how Sydney Sweeney's character is being portrayed in it. She has taken up a career as a model on OnlyFans. And there have been sex workers and OnlyFans creators that have come out really against this because she's posing in, you know, very childlike, very juvenile costumes. She's posing in a dog collar at one point. It's just really, really dehumanizing stuff. But it's not even entertaining at this point, which is my main issue with it, because there's just so much controversy for the sake of controversy. The storyline doesn't even make sense.
To finish with more controversy, Eurovision. Finally, your organisers, Eurovision, are getting tough with Israel, sort of.
This is kind of the par for the course. We're trying to have it both ways. So you've got the European Broadcasting Union officially saying to its members, officially saying to the press that these orchestrated campaigns of influence on voting do not actually sway the vote, but also don't do that to the members as well. So it's kind of sending two different messages all at the same time. And essentially, Cannes, the Israeli broadcaster, has gotten into trouble for these kind of campaigns around voting.
And encouraging people to vote 10 times for the Israeli song.
20 times before now was the problem, and it was reduced to 10, and now they're maximising it to 10. But it's also, these are backed by government figures as well. There's a great report today in the New York Times that has done more investigating into this issue of the Israeli campaigns of voting than the EBU seems to have done itself, and that's addressed in this report. And essentially, they say that this isn't political and that government shouldn't be involved, but for years, not just recently, they have allowed massive and excessive investment from the Israeli government into backing its act, and no other broadcaster seems to be getting away with this kind of thing.
Elaine Burke, Kate Henshaw, thank you. The Last Word on Today FM.